Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Edmund Moran. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff, appellant Scott Vince. Scott Vince lived in South Central Wisconsin, and he was a confidential informant for various municipalities in the area, as well as an area narcotics task force that was operating during the relevant period of time to obtain narcotics convictions from sellers of narcotics. In August of 2005, Mr. Vince was arrested, and he was being transported to the Rock County Jail. When he was going there, he informed people that State's Attorney Investigator Tom Nyman, who is one of the individual defendants in the case, was aware of the fact that Mr. Vince was a confidential informant for the task force and that he was anxious to have Mr. Nyman communicate with jail officials to the effect that he was, in fact, a confidential informant. And the record is clear in this case, so that as the Court would appreciate, that in virtually every step along the way, every person who was involved in the arrest, transport, and ultimate delivery of Mr. Vince to the Rock County Jail had been alerted to the fact that Mr. Vince was, in fact, a confidential informant. Now, the key issue in the case under the 14th Amendment here is, one, whether there was indeed in existence a heightened risk, a significant risk, that Mr. Vince's incarceration in the general population of the Rock County Jail, as opposed to administrative segregation, where he would be away from those who might do him harm, was a violation of that right. In the first instance, in August of 2005, when he was delivered, Nyman, in fact, informed the jail officials, the booking officials, that Mr. Vince was indeed acting as a confidential informant and recommended that he should be segregated. And that's what they did. Mr. Vince was ultimately bonded out from the Rock County Jail and without any incident. It's our contention that that should have been made a permanent part of Mr. Vince's record, in that if he were to...
Counsel,
yes.
You lost this suit in the district court on the ground that you had sued the wrong people. Let's think about Nyman for a moment. Did Nyman even know about the particular arrest that occurred that led to your client's injury?
I don't think the record reveals that he knew about
the record doesn't
about
reveal that he
particular
knew,
arrest.
Then he didn't know.
That's
so
fine.
What is the basis of liability against Nyman? If he didn't even know about this arrest, he obviously couldn't have kept your client out of the general population.
The basis is that, Your Honor, I believe it's the law of this circuit that when a person has been admitted to a correctional facility and a record is established, that record should continue and be part of that person's incarceration.
Well, so but how is that a basis of liability for the people you have sued, right, real people? If Nyman didn't even know about this arrest and he wasn't in charge of the record system, right, what is it that Nyman did wrong? Could you spell out what Nyman did wrong?
What our suggestion is, Your Honor, is that he did not ensure, as a member involved in criminal investigative work for Rock County, for the Rock County Jail, should have made it clear for all time that Vince was acting as a confidential informant.
Of course,
and there should never have been an issue again.
Yeah, but you don't have any authority for that, that just because this happened once and Nyman knew and the call was made, that there's some kind of continuing duty. You don't have any case law to support that theory, do you?
That
the district attorney's office has like a continuing responsibility to ensure safety in jail and to anticipate when people might be arrested and to make sure the records always reflect that?
The Gayton versus McCoy decision suggests, of this court, suggests that there will be considered a cumulative record in correctional facilities, and that once a risk
didn't deal with the district attorney's office.
Person's liability.
Right.
Yeah. It's not simply that you have to show he did something or omitted it. You also have to show that he did it with the state of mind required by Farmer against Brennan. What's your basis for contending that Nyman neglected this responsibility for the purpose of producing an injury to your client?
Well, I think the basis of it is when we look at the notion that all inferences, reasonable inferences, that are derived from the evidence, that if he had established for all time a record that Vince was a confidential informant, he never would have been put in the general population then or later.
It doesn't come within 10 miles of what's required by Farmer against
Brennan.
And then
even in this second time when he's arrested in October after the search, he was with Henderson. Henderson didn't know anything about his record. And Vince said he wanted to call McMahon and tell him he was being taken into custody. He never really called McMahon, did he?
I believe he tried to call McMahon but did not get him.
Or Nyman.
And he did tell Officer Henderson, Your Honor, that he was a confidential informant.
Yeah, but he didn't try to call Nyman either.
I don't believe in that instance that he did.
All right. So what concretely did Henderson do wrong?
What he did wrong was that he had an opportunity in transporting Vince to the jail to fill out a form, which he did, requesting temporary detention, pretrial detention. The form was used in both instances in both August and October. In August, the form was filled out with the notation that Vince was a confidential informant. In October, it was not. And it is our contention that Officer Henderson should have filled that out, that there was no, that when he was ultimately transported to the jail and left there for incarceration.
What is the basis for concluding that he omitted that information for the purpose of injuring your client?
He had every opportunity to do it, and it would be.
That's the line of argument that was so squarely rejected by Farmer that I don't even comprehend what you're now contending. Farmer said that you had to have knowledge of a specific threat and failed to do something for the specific purpose, a purpose that could create criminal liability, criminal conviction. They adopted the criminal standard of intent for the purpose of injuring your client. And that seems to me, my skepticism.
If I can, Your Honor, the specific threat here, as differentiated from what the county does, they have this list, this enemies list that they put in so that he would not be put in with a quote-unquote documented enemy. But the problem with the approach is that the risk rose from who Vince had testified against in various legal proceedings, but the fact that he was a confidential informant. When he goes into the jail, the general population goes into the jail as a confidential informant, he's a marked man.
Your argument is that there should be a policy that if you are an informant, you get separated. There should be a policy like that. That would protect him.
Well, and I would go further, Your Honor, and say that I think the Constitution demands that.
The Constitution demands that policy.
That the effort made to reduce the risk that's inherent in his status as a confidential informant is required. And that if it's ignored, if they don't do that, and he's then attacked and injured, that those who have failed in that regard are responsible for it.
Well, here's what mystifies me. He gets in the jail. He gets in his unit. Everybody is screaming, beat him, and saying they would kill him. And he tries to tell the jailers he's being threatened and all that, and then he gets attacked a few hours later, and they aren't sued.
Well,
if you're talking about a direct threat made to him, these are the people, the inmates are chanting, beat him, and saying they would kill him. Twice he tries to tell the jailers he's being threatened and needs to be moved before the doors open in the morning. and those people aren't being sued. That's that to me is very perplexing.
What I would say, Your Honor, is that the confidential informant status that was well known by all people should have prevented that from even happening. And the people who failed in that regard failed him. Time is up. Thank you, Your Honor. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moran. Mr. Long.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honor, Mr. Moran has presented two issues that his client's constitutional rights are violated because, one, the individual officers were deliberately indifferent to the risk, and two, municipal policies were either unconstitutional on their face or were unconstitutional customs or practices so well entrenched as to amount to official policy. Neither of these arguments can be sustained. His argument that Rock County failed to take reasonable measures to guarantee the appellant's safety requires proof that individual officers were deliberately indifferent to the substantial risk of serious harm. That's Farmer versus Brennan. That means that he must prove that the defendant, Tom Nyman, knew, not should have known, but knew that there was a substantial risk that Mr. Vince would be injured or attacked by other inmates, and that he disregarded that risk and failed to do anything about it. The defendant must be, or the Nyman must have been cognizant of that significant likelihood that he would be injured by assault. In order to show that Nyman was deliberately indifferent to that assault, he would also have to show that the risk was imminent, that is to say, close in time. That's Collins versus Seaman, cited in our brief, 426 Fed 3rd at 757. However, Nyman's involvement with Mr. Vince ended in August of 2005, 6 weeks earlier than his injuries. Nyman, in August of 2005, would have no reason to know that Vince would be arrested 6 weeks later, that he would still be an informant, that he would be the victim of an assault, or that he would even be placed in the jail's general population if he, Nyman, did not intervene.
I just had an informational question. Why didn't jail manager list CI status? You know, like the first time somebody comes in, just check the box, CI.
The jail manager program simply did not provide for that.
So there's no box for it?
There is no box.
Would that be helpful information for jailers to know?
It certainly
would.
That
box might be created?
It certainly would, Your Honor.
Doesn't the new program do that? I think there was reference to the fact that the program's been replaced now.
It does.
Is it in effect now?
It is in effect. Now, since there are no other individual officers named, Rock County officers named, then municipal liability does not attach because a municipal corporation cannot be held liable on a municipal policy basis absent the finding that that individual officers were liable on the underlying claim. So essentially the analysis should stop there. Mr. Moran has argued that municipal liability should attach because of the policy in terms of official policy and causation. However, under Pembauer versus Cincinnati and Canton versus Harris, that cannot occur. There is no evidence in the record of any such unconstitutional policy. He argues that Rock County, in a de facto sort of manner, adopted unconstitutional policies, but in fact there are two policies, SOP 6.150 and the jail manager program. And the jail manager program did disclose an enemy, and in fact Mr. Vince was placed in a different cell unit so that he would not be in the same situation or in the same cells as one of his enemies. That it disclosed, did not disclose Mr. Reed as being an enemy is not a surprise, since Mr. Vince did not know Reed and Reed did not know Vince. How would they know they were enemies? And if Mr. Vince doesn't know that, how could Rock County? There is no evidence to deduce to this to establish a pattern of unconstitutional conduct either. Subject to your questions, that concludes my portion of this.
Thank you, Mr. Long. Mr. Reek.
Your Honors, Counsel, I represent the city of Beloit and Officer Lorenzo Henderson. In Wisconsin, police officers and corrections officers, they have different training, they have different certifications. Police officers, municipal police officers, are rarely certified as corrections officers, and Mr. Henderson certainly was not. Mr. Henderson has absolutely no authority over how people are housed in the jail. It would be presumptuous of him to think that he did. All he did is he arrested Mr. Vince on a warrant and took him to the jail, and he had no control about what happened afterwards.
Does he have any obligation to report information on a temporary detention form if he's received knowledge of specific threats?
Well, he had no knowledge of any specific
threats. Right. No, I understand that. I'm just asking generally.
I mean, if he did.
If he had knowledge, is he required to report on that temporary detention?
I mean, arguably that would be a good thing for him to do.
I just wonder if there was a policy.
No. And really, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Moran? Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.